Shall we stand as we read the scriptures today, and we thank God for the word of God, which is living and active. Amen. And as we celebrate the leaders in the pastors and deacon board, we continue to thank God for the other leaders, chair, BOT, chair of council, moderator, all the leaders of all our ministries, wherever you are, we celebrate you. In Jesus' name. We are reading a very short passage, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Habakkuk, today we are talking about the vision that speaks. Tell your neighbor, the vision speaks. And as we prepare to do that, again, we want to appreciate Patrick Kubuya and his team for leading us very well yesterday. Amen. And we really thank God for that service they rendered. And I read NIV version. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that our herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. Hallelujah. It will certainly come and will not delay. And verse 4, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not right, upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Amen? Amen. This is God's word, and God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. We may be seated in God's house. For those who are visiting, and maybe this is your first Sunday with us, we have been unveiling the theme vision for the year. And the theme vision for the year is the year of the Lord's uplifted open door. Where do we get that particular scripture? It's found in Revelation chapter 4. So let me read those verses just to recap one or two things. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, John, the disciple, is seeing a vision. And the Bible says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door. Tell your neighbor, a door. And that is why it is not doors. It's not open doors. It is an open door. So I looked up, and before me, there was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you. Tell your neighbor, we are coming up. We have been called to go up. Okay, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. The Bible says in verse 2, at once. Now that word, sometimes it is called immediately or suddenly, but at once. That's why we get the word accelerate, because there are things that God wants to do very fast in this season and in this time. At once, so we need to respond quickly. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. You know, God speaks in various ways, and sometimes you may not hear God audibly. He doesn't speak audibly a lot because that will scare you out completely. So when you're praying, don't start saying, oh, Jehovah God, speak to me. Speak to me loudly, my friend. If God answers that prayer, you'll be knocked out. So God tries his best not to speak audibly. So God speaks in visions. But today, many of those visions were written down. Bwana asifiwe. And that is why the word of God is very important. All right? But he speaks in visions. There is a verse in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 2, that says this. This is Jeremiah speaking. And the Bible says this. The Lord spoke to him. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Right where? Right? I'm talking to you. Right? Yes. He saw visions, but he was told, write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their ancestors to possess, says the Lord. So many of the things God showed the prophets, they later wrote them down. And so we have them. But God still speaks and releases visions to us. The vision still speaks. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says this, when Peter was preaching in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 17. And he's talking about the Spirit being poured upon us. Really appreciating those who came for the anointing service yesterday. Peter is saying this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will do what? Will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And then he says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So God speaks through visions. And we are saying the vision will speak. Let me read again Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 in the New King James Version. Because you need to know that this vision will speak. I'm saying this vision will speak. And when God reveals something to you, he will do it. The Bible says this again. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will do what? It will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And I want you to know that when God reveals something to you, he will do it. One of the persons who also saw visions, and by the way, the reason why he just needed that vision, he was particularly quite stubborn. And sometimes when you are stubborn and God is trying to talk to you, God will do something dramatic to wake you up. Hello? And so sometimes visions come because God has used so many other means to get to you, but you're not getting it. One of those people is called Paul. He was Saul at the beginning. So the Bible says in Acts chapter 9 that Paul was going out to kill the believers. He was a Pharisee, and he felt that these believers, new believers, were really not of God. So this is what the Bible says, Acts chapter 9. He saw this vision. He says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who are of the way, now the believers are called people of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from where? From heaven. The Bible says he fell to the ground and had a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. That was a vision. The Bible says in the next verse, if you can give me the next verse. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. That was dramatic for him. Much later, when he was giving his testimony to King Agrippa, in the book of Acts 26, this is what the Bible says in verse 19, because he was giving his testimony. And then in verse 19, he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I declared first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. So the vision that Paul had at the beginning, he said, I started walking with that vision. By the time he's dealing with King Agrippa, he has gone through many challenges. He has been persecuted. He has gone through a rough road. But guess what kept him going? The vision he saw at the beginning. That vision kept him going and going and going. One time he was stoned nearly to death, but he shook himself out of that, stood up, and kept going. The vision will speak. I'm saying the vision will speak. But what do you do when this vision is not happening quickly? Because some people, you may have a vision that you'll be wealthy. And you're getting excited. I will be wealthy, 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 wealthy. Then you expect to be wealthy the next day. Then the wealth doesn't happen. Pastor Ambrose says, this is what the Lord is going to do for you. Now, of course, he's not a false prophet. And I want to thank God I'm not a false prophet. What I decree happens. In Jesus' name. Let me tell you this. When it delays, what do you do? When things come that you do not expect, what happens? So three things that you must remember, because this vision will speak. Three things. Number one, wait for it. Number two, believe for it. And number three, listen for it. Very simple statements. I pray that you remember them. Number one, wait for that vision to speak. Wait for it. Number two, believe for it. Don't begin to doubt. Don't begin to doubt. One time I said, when God reveals to you anything at night, don't doubt it during the daytime. Hello? When God reveals to you something, when you're going through a very rough moment, don't doubt it when things, you know, are good around you. Or when God reveals something when times are good, don't doubt it when things are bad. Bwana asifiwe. The vision will speak. So, number one, wait for it, believe for it, listen for it. So look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, wait for it, believe for it, listen for it. Tell the other neighbor, be wait for it, believe for it, listen for it. Now, the one who ignored you, tell them, wait for it. Believe for it. Listen for it. Yes, I'm talking to the wives who are here. There's something your husband promised you, and it has never happened. Wait for it. You know, Father Francis, one time we were in a wedding, and during the reception, this lady stands up. You know, she's very excited about the wedding, and she's just happy. She's not a young person. She's a mother, and she's just excited. And as she was speaking, she said, you know, my husband promised me that when we got married, he would take me to Mombasa. Until today, I'm still waiting. I pray that even during that reception, the husband had nakampeleka. So, wives, wait for it. And now I'm talking to the wives. Say this after me. Wait for it. Believe for it. Listen for it. Don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Bwana asifiwe. But when you're waiting, what do you do? Now, this waiting is not a waiting or casual waiting, waiting hopelessly. No, it's not that kind of waiting. In the first service, I was telling them that these days of cell phones, it has really helped us to manage quite a number of things that we could not manage a long time ago. And especially when it is time, of course, young people are dating, they're calling each other. And these days, you know, sometimes it can be very stressing because this girl calls you and says, Yani, you have not called me. Kwanini, what is happening? And the thing is, she's saying that, and they talked yesterday. Hello? They talked yesterday. I have not called me, Bana. What is happening? The days of Francis Wairagu, when he was dating Florence. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, you'd make these promises, and you say, by the way, let's meet. We need to meet. One of the key places guys used to meet, if you ever made a promise, we're going to meet so that we can go for a date, was in CBD, a place called Kencom. Kencom House. There was a clock right there. And you said, let us meet at Kencom under the clock. And it was very interesting because that clock was filled with men. Yani, you arrive. And you find many men had made some dates, and they were supposed to meet under the clock. And so you have all these men waiting under the clock. I was told also the other place guys used to meet was Kenya Cinema. They meet somewhere there because there was no other way. Those days, no cell phones. You entered a booth, a red booth, and you start calling, and there's a whole line waiting for you. They're hitting the window. Hey, Maliza Upesi. It was very difficult. And so you can imagine at Kencom, these men are sitting, are standing at the clock, and the buses are passing by. And they would not just sit there hoping you show up. They are expecting you to come with a bus. So at every bus, they are checking. Every person who alights, they are checking. And I'm telling you, you are there at 11. The person you're waiting for is coming at 3. But you have been there checking every bus. This is called waiting with expectation. Hallelujah. This is what God is saying. When God gives a vision, wait with expectation. Don't give up. Don't just sit there and say, I hope he comes. If he doesn't come, it is okay. I think I've waited enough. I will go. Sometimes the moment some guys at that clock would just leave. By 3 o'clock, they are tired. They just leave. The next bus, the lady comes and checks around and just sees that the man doesn't see the man she was looking for. Then, now trying to call that person is another issue. I say, I waited for you, and she was saying, I waited for you, you didn't show up. But let me tell you this, when God makes a date with you, he will show up. I'm saying he will show up. I'm saying he will show up. God made a date with Abraham. And Abraham waited and waited and waited. 25 years, this guy was waiting. A long time he waited. But let me tell you this. God kept reminding him, I'll come, I'll come, I'll come, I'll come. And for sure one day, he came. Genesis chapter 18, this is the day God shows up in Abraham's place. And the Bible says this. Very quickly, if I can read those verses. Genesis 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. I believe Deacon Francis Wairagu, this guy had been waiting with expectation. No wonder the Bible says Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance. That's the kind of waiting God is looking for. He hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah quick. He said, get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead it. Bake some bread. Now men tend to do that. They surprise their wives. Quick, quick, quick. What wamekuja? Do something. And they have to start running around. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to the servant who hurried to prepare it. Quick, quick. They had visitors. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set this before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Where is your wife, Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, he didn't know this, that God was among them. He didn't know. They just looked like men. One of them was God. The other two were angels. When this man made that statement, he remembered because in chapter 17, God had actually said, I am going to visit you. So he suddenly realized the person speaking is who? Is the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, God can come your way suddenly. May God come your way suddenly. And sometimes he will not come in a package that you are expecting. Sometimes he will not speak to you through a person you are used to. He may not speak to you through Ambrose. He may even speak to you through a child in your own house and say something. I remember one time when God used a house girl to speak to her boss and tell Naaman, there is somebody in Israel who can handle your situation. And Naaman believed it, went, found Elisha, and his life was changed. Wait for it. Wait for it. Tell your neighbor, wait for it. But tell them, wait with expectation. Sometimes people go through a rough stage, and sometimes waiting becomes a challenge. Let me read these verses in the book of Psalms. This is your encouragement today. Psalms 27, I'm reading from verse 5. This is what the Bible says. This is an amazing psalm, and it helps people wait when everything does not seem to be adding up. The Bible says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." Then he says, "Hear my voice." Now, this time he's kind of desperate. He says, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." Then he says this, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior." And then he says, "Though my father and mother forsake me," I don't know what this guy was going through. He says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." And then he says, "Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations." And then he said this. Now, this is now a statement of faith. "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I pray somebody will begin to make that statement. That regardless of what is happening, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then verse 14, he concludes by saying this. "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." I'm speaking to somebody here today and say, wait for the Lord. God is coming your way. But very quickly, I'm saying, believe for it. Don't just wait for it, but believe for it. Believe for it. Tell your neighbor, believe. This comes to a stage of trust. Trust God. That what he said, he will do. There's a story of a woman. Jesus gave a parable of this lady. And this is what the Bible says. I'm reading from Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Let me start with verse 1 because that story starts there. It says this. "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always do what?" And not evil. "Then he said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought." There was a judge. Okay? And the next verse. "And then there was" what? "A widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea." Now, that is a serious thing. Here is a judge. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about people. Yani, he's in his own world. Then there's a lady who is helpless, widowed, and she has a matter that she needs justice about. Now, let me say this. Many times when we think of God, we think of heaven, we think of love, we think of mercy. We never think that God is a God who releases justice. God is a God of justice. God is a judge. And when he's judging, it is now a court issue. Did you know that in heaven, there is a court? And who sits on that court? The judge. And God is that judge. And he knows when things are happening to you and you actually need justice. And you're looking for that justice. And it's not coming. Sometimes we watch some programs on TV and we find these guys who are thrown in prison for something they did not do. Somebody put things on them. Kiswali, walimwekelea. That guy is sentenced for a long time. You know, sometimes these things we are told when you're going to the US and things like that. And by the way, when you're traveling, because you're going to be traveling this year, I'm saying you're going to be traveling this year. So prepare yourself when you're traveling, because sometimes when you're reaching those points of entry, they begin to ask you, they can pull you from the queue and ask you, this bag you're carrying, are you the one who packed this bag? They ask you those things. Because sometimes, even sometimes in the airport, they say, do not leave your bag unattended. Because there are people who are always trafficking drugs on a constant basis. And sometimes they may give somebody something and say, hey, carry this. There's a friend of mine on the other side who is waiting. And suddenly you're found with those drugs and you're put in and jailed in out there, not back home. Uko. You never reached your destination. And you're wondering, God, why did this happen to me? You're put in 5 years. Nobody has seen you for 5 years. Kumbe, you are in jail. And at that time, you're crying out, God of justice. You know, come through. That time is not mercy. At that time, you're crying for justice. Let me tell you something in Jesus' name this year. God is going to sort your court issues. Amen. I'm saying God will give you justice. Amen. I'm saying God will give you justice. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes there are people, sometimes who are foreigners, they come here, they want to get citizenship. They have stayed here for a long time. But every time they go to immigration, nothing happens. I mean, they're paying this, they're paying that, all kinds of things. But I want to tell you this, God will come through for you. Amen. I'm saying God will come through for you. Amen. There are some of you who applied for passports, and since you applied, it doesn't come. We are saying, may there be an acceleration. Amen. I'm saying, may there be an acceleration. Amen. Justice will come your way. So this is a story. He's saying, this is an unjust judge, this is a widow helpless. But let me finish that statement. He says, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Now, that word adversary, by the way, adversary in the Bible means my accuser, the one who accuses you. And Satan is an adversary. He accuses us day and night. For some time, this judge refused listening to her. I don't know how long it was. But finally, he said to himself, now he's talking to himself in his office, hello? Even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet, because this widow who keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and... Hello? This woman was desperate. But listen to Jesus, because Jesus is using that story to say something. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? I want you to see that picture. Unjust judge, widow. God, his chosen ones. And God is saying, many times I'm your father, but you begin to compare me with the unjust judge. Because you have been praying and praying and praying, and I don't seem to be doing anything. Now you are thinking that I'm an unjust judge. I have refused to listen to you. God is saying, I am not that unjust judge. And he says, I will listen to you. You are my chosen. And then verse 7, let me finish that verse. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him, how? Day and night. Will he keep putting them off? Answer me. No. Then the Bible says this, I tell you, he will see that they get justice. How? I'm saying God is coming through. Amen. I'm saying God is coming through. Amen. And then he finishes this statement, and I used to wonder, why is he finishing that whole story with that statement? Because he started by saying, keep praying and do not give up. Then he says, however, when the Son of Man comes, Will he find faith on the earth? In other words, God is saying, as you wait for it, believe for it. Have faith. I know there's a song we keep singing about God's goodness and God's goodness coming away and his faithfulness, that God is a faithful God. I'm saying this, that God will come through for you. I'm saying God will come through for you in Jesus' name. Hello? God will come through for you. Believe. Some of us have been so, you know, God has delayed so much and worse things have happened until we said, God, you can stay in heaven. I will stay on earth. Hello? Things have just gone haywire. In 2018, you were flourishing. You had an amazing business. Things were going very well. 2019, you got more stock. Things were just happening. And then 2020 hit. And everything you had went down the drain. Until 2023, nothing has come up. It died. Things went off. You remind me of the story of Jairus. Jairus has a baby who is 12 years old, and she becomes sick, and before they can rush her to Nairobi Hospital, hello, things are going haywire. She is mahututi. She runs to Jesus. She knows that Jesus can do something. She comes desperate and says, Jesus, come, my daughter is on her sick bed. Come and heal her. And Jesus, without questioning him, said, let us go. Jesus is already on the way. But as they are going, because this is an emergency, as they are going, tell your neighbor, as they are going, a woman interrupts the journey. Look at your neighbor. If it is a woman, tell that woman, stop interrupting things. But let me tell you this. This woman was also sick 12 years. This girl, she became sick when the girl was born. The girl is 12 years. She has been unwell 12 years. She's been waiting for her miracle. This Jama was not waiting for any miracle. The daughter was fine. But now he has an emergency. This lady hears of Jesus, just like Jairus heard of Jesus. And this lady goes through the masses, and enters and touches Jesus' garment. And she receives her miracle instantly. And Jesus stops. While he's going to Jairus' place, Jesus does what? Stops. Starts asking, who touched me? Can you imagine what was going through Jairus' head? You know, I could just picture him. And he's looking at the woman. And smoke is coming through his ears. But let me tell you this. There are some interruptions that are of God. Hello? COVID was an interruption. But it was a comma in the sentence. It was not a full stop. I'm talking to somebody here. That COVID may have put a full stop in your life, but I'm here to tell you it is a comma. Because God is still writing that sentence. God is still finishing that sentence. When Jesus had finished talking to the woman and said, your faith has made you well, when he started going with Jairus, Jairus said, by the way, the girl has died. And they said, please don't bother Jesus, that it's over. And Jesus says, it's not over until I say it is over. And Jesus holds Jairus' hand, and one thing he said to Jairus is this, continue believing. Continue believing. That belief you had when you first came and I said, I'm coming, continue believing. And Jairus believed. And they went, and of course there was matanga, there was a funeral, things were bad, people were running. They don't wait for a week doing a fundraising for burial. Usually the fundraising is really not for the burial, it's for the food of the people who are going to eat at the burial. Tell your neighbor, amen. So they reach there, people are crying, oh, wee, 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 and that happens. And especially, I think Jairus was from Alego, those sites. And and people in Western, they love opportunities where they can whale. They are called professional whalers. They are not part of the family. They just cause the people to be sad. And that's why they will just show up. They come to the coffin. Why did you leave us? Why did you leave us? You have my debt. Why did you leave us? Why did you leave us? And then they sit down and immediately they say, where's tea? You wonder. What just happened? And if you're from Central Province or Ukambani and you're married to those sites, thank you, Jesus. Expect the unexpected. Suddenly they're laughing. They're laughing. Jesus said, this child is sleeping. They start laughing. You know, you wonder what just happened. They were crying, now they're laughing. And Jesus throws everybody out of the house. He said, I don't want you. Nobody is believing here. There's only one person who is believing. His name is Jairus. So he goes into the house and goes and touches that girl and says, Talitha kum. Which simply means, little girl, wake up. There are things that COVID destroyed. There are things that COVID caused to die. And Jesus has showed up and he's saying, that which is dead, wake up. May that business wake up. May your finances wake up. May your fortunes wake up. This is a time of arising to your new season. Bwana asifiwe. Job went through a rough time. That devil took everything that Job had. It was the devil. Even though Job said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Who gave? The Lord. But who took away? The devil. So don't say things like this in the funeral service. Oh, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken. No, he did not take anything. When God gives, he gives again. I'm saying when God gives, he gives again. Amen. Let me tell you this. This year, God is going to restore that which the devil has stolen from you. Amen. He is giving it back to you in Jesus' name. Bwana asifiwe. And he showed up for Job. Even though apo katikati in the book of Job, Job reached a stage of saying, I wish I was not born. I wish I died. And so sometimes it reaches a stage when things are so bad, you just say, I wish I was dead. But let me tell you this. Continue believing because God will come through. Job 42 is coming. Tell your neighbor, your Job 42 is coming. And so Deacon Joe, this is what the Bible says in Job 42 verse 10. Amazing things happened for Job. There was a turnaround for Job. And the Bible says this, after Job had prayed for his friends. So while you're believing, even pray for your friends who have not been very good to you. After Job had prayed for his friends, listen to this. This is an amazing statement. The Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. Now, for the first time, his family shows up. The Bible says all his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him. By the way, it is not the Lord who brought that trouble. Who brought that trouble? Satan. And the Bible says, thank God. And each one gave him a piece of silver and gold ring. Let me tell you this. Those who hated you are coming to bless you. In Jesus' name. I'm saying those who hated you will bless you. When God shows up, those who hated you will bless you. But remember this. Those you hate this year, you're going to bless them. Somebody saying, akuna, akuna. Kwani, how do you expect that those who hate you should be the only ones to bless you? Why the people that you are the one who hates? Why don't you bless them? May this be your year. Amen. But let me finish. This is an amazing story. It finishes like this. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life. Latter means after COVID. Come on, somebody. Now you better give God a big hand. Something good is coming your way. Huh? The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life after 2022, 2020, 2023. This 2024, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part, because that former part, it is the Lord who blessed him. This part, the same Lord is going to bless him. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now listen to this. I like this verse 14. This is a good verse. The first daughter he named Jemima. The second, Keziah. And the third, Karen Hapuk. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. I'm telling you, somebody better give God a big hand. The latter part. And then God knew this guy needs years to enjoy this blessing. So look at this. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so Job died an old man and full of years. May that be your portion. May that be your portion. Oh, what a blessing. I think he could not even remember on this side. He could not remember what had happened on that side. May God wipe out that memory in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God is a good God. He's a God of justice. What he's saying is this: believe for it. Wait for it. Believe for it. And finally, listen for it. I want to say this while we are standing. So stand on your feet. So listen for it. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, I hope you are waiting. Expectantly. I hope you are believing. Trusting God. Now tell them, now listen for it. Pay attention. This is the story of Elijah. Elijah is towards nearly the end of his life. And Elijah, who was a mighty man of God, has been threatened by a woman. Her name is Jezebel. He's so scared, he runs for his life. He runs so far, and he hides himself, and he says, God, I want to die. I want to commit suicide, even if it's possible. God, just take me. So in that low estate, that low phase of his life, this is what the Bible says in 1 Kings 19:11. God came to see him. And the Bible says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and a powerful wind tore the mountains apart, so much noise, and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came what? A gentle whisper. You know, God knew the state that Elijah was in. He did not need any shouting. He did not need to be condemned. He was in such a low state that God needed to whisper gently and tell Elijah, I know what you're going through. It is okay. It is okay. I know you want to die, but not now. I have a job for you. I have an assignment for you. Gentle whisper. And let me tell you this. Sometimes when somebody is speaking gently, you have to come closer to listen to that. Must come closer. No noise. No preaching. No counseling. Whisper. And sometimes God understands you, and sometimes he'll whisper. That's why you need to pay attention quietly, because he's speaking. Now listen to what he said to Elijah. He said, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, in a very soft voice. Now, he didn't say, wait, what are you doing here, Allah? See, I thought you're a mighty man of God. Prophet Kitugani. Let me tell you this. Sometimes men of God fall. Sometimes they sin. And sometimes when they do that, the whole world condemns them. There's so much noise. Hey, we thought he was anointed. We thought he was a man of God. Now look at where he is. And you know, God looks at that man and says, he's still my man. He's still my man. And then God now has to deal with that man himself. And so Elijah replied, I have been very zealous. He's still defending himself. I have been very zealous. God, you cannot just do this to me. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left. You know, God nearly rebuked him, but you are the only one left. I have 7,000 who are still standing. Sometimes you think you're the only one. And sometimes we reach those stages when we feel we're the only one. We are the only one that COVID affected. We're the only one. I'm the only one. My wife left. Others are still having their husband. I'm the only one. I'm the only one who was retrenched. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. And you're telling God, I'm the only one. And God is standing there saying, it is okay. It is okay. I understand. I'm the only one left. And now they are trying to do what? To kill me too. By that time, he's pouring crocodile tears. I'm the one. They are trying to kill me. Kill me, kill me, kill me. Then the Lord said to him, hey, I have an assignment for you. Stop sitting here. Go back the way you came. Go back to your mountain. Go back to your anointing. Go back to where you left me. Go back to your believing. Listen to me. Go back where you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, do three things. Anoint Hazael, king over Aram. You have a kingly anointing. Anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Mehola, to succeed you as prophet. Your destiny will continue with somebody else. Amen. This is God speaking. Can you imagine what happened to Elijah? I'm telling you, he listened. He listened. He did those three things. And by the time he was finishing, God sent a royal escort to take him to glory. Let me tell you this. I don't know what you're going through, but God is saying, pay attention. I still love you. I still care about you. You are down, but I'm about to take you up. You are low, but you're going higher. When God takes you higher, it is higher than where you were before. Somebody is being raised up today. I'm saying you're coming up in Jesus' name. I'm saying you're coming up in Jesus' name. Come up. Just do this. Just do this where you're standing. Just raise yourself. Say, I'm coming up. I'm coming up. Tell the devil, stay there. I'm coming up. I'm rising up. They that wait upon the Lord, say that. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. Mount up. I am mounting up like an eagle. I will run and not be weary. I will walk and not faint. I'm rising. Now say that namarigo to your neighbor. I'm rising. Watch this space. I'm not staying here anymore. The anointing is lifting me up. And then spread your hands and say, I am spreading my wings. Like the eagle. I'm going to a new position. Watch me. You may not find me very soon. I'm going to higher ground.
I'm rising.
I'm rising. In Jesus' name. Now give God a big hand. Hallelujah. There is an acceleration. And so as we finish this month's theme into next month's theme, let me tell you this. He who began this work will bring it to completion.
Amen.
This is your portion.
Amen.
Receive it now.
Just
catch it in there. Say, I receive it.
I
take it.
It is my portion.
And there's nothing the devil can do about it. I'm standing on Job 42. Verse 10. And forward. I will, my generation will be blessed.
My children will be blessed.
My grandchildren will be blessed.
To the third and fourth generation.
And God will give me enough years
to enjoy the blessing.
Amen?
Amen.
Now give God another big hand. Are you glad you came?
Yes.
Did you learn anything?
Yes.
Which particular part did you learn? The three beautiful girls. That's what some of you are remembering. But three things, remember: wait. Number two. And number three. Because the vision will speak. And though it may tarry, it shall come to pass.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's give God another big hand. Amen. Amen. Okay. Deacon Joe is just giving me a reminder to remind the visitors. After this, Karibu Inn, there's a cup of tea. Karibu Center, sorry. What did I say? Now, the reason why I said that is because where I live, Karibu Center is right there. Karibu Inn is there. So, not Karibu Inn, tafadhali. Karibu Center. Oh, thank you for that correction. Amen. But you know, I think big things for you.
Amen.
I mean, I'm thinking big thoughts.
Yes.
Very soon, Paki may have a hotel.
Yes.
Hello. So instead of going to Karibu Center, we may just say, there's a Paki place. Paki, which is next to us. We will look for a name, a better name. You know, we are blessing everybody around here because we live here. There's an apartment that just came up the other day with a completely different name. Recently, they called it Canaan. Right here, this one. Because of us. Okay, our visitors, what did I say, Karibu? Karibu Center, not Karibu Inn. So thank you, Joe. Next week, I'll share with you, there's a testimony that I wanted to share about a lady who went through a very difficult time during the last anointing. She was in hospital, at Aga Khan Hospital, during the anointing service. And she experienced her anointing service at Aga Khan Hospital, maternity ward, giving birth to a child, and it was very difficult at that time because her amniotic fluid had just burst and the child was not yet ready to come. Very interesting story, but she said while we were asking people to now anoint themselves, she did not have anointing oil. She had what do you call it? Lotion ya kupaka. Huh? Lotion. Huh? Moisturizer. So she prayed for it. While people were praying, she prayed for it. And then while we were praying, she rubbed it on her tummy, and the miracle shifted things. I will read that for you next week. And she came for the anointing service yesterday. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you this. This time next year, things will have totally changed for you. Totally changed for you. Bwana asifiwe. God is a good God. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I am a miracle happening.
I am a miracle happening.
In the now.
In the now.
You may not see it,
but God is seeing it.
I am a miracle
happening
in the now.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. So let's appreciate Njoki and the team. Wherever they are, God bless them. They left, but we celebrate them in Jesus' name. One as few, make sure that you get your reading plan for the year, Bible reading plan for the year. Get the theme vision at the bookstore. Get the planner. It's available. And now I want to pray for us to release us, because you're going to have an amazing week.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
For those watching us online, may God really, really bless you, because the miracle is also coming your way in a mighty, mighty way. Thank you for connecting with us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the word today, that the vision still speaks. We wait for it. We believe for it. We listen for it. And indeed, you are not a man that you should lie. You are not a son of man that you should change your mind. When you say it, you surely will make it happen. And dear Lord, I want to pray for congregants online and also in person who really have gone down since COVID season. And Lord, they're wondering, will they ever rise again? But Lord, we are saying that COVID was a comma in their life, that you will continue finishing that sentence. And just the way you touched Job, the way you touched Jairus' daughter, that God, you will say into their situation, Talitha kum, arise from this sleep. Arise from your death. God, you are the resurrection and the life. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, wherever they are today, that 2024 is their year of prosperity, is their year of flourishing. They will no longer survive. They will begin to thrive. You are that kind of a God. And dear Lord, indeed I know, for some people, COVID is what caused them to prosper in so many ways. And Lord, they're looking back not at COVID as a monster, but at COVID as an accelerator in their lives. Whatever it is, at the end of the day, you are in charge of the circumstances of the world. And so, Lord, regardless of what people are going through, some of them are bereaved, some of them are grieving, some of them, there's a deal that has gone sour, some of them, there's a contract they're about to sign and they don't know if they are sure they will want to sign it. Some of them have a court issue that needs justice. Father, whoever it is, in the name of Jesus, as they walk into this new week, a miracle is waiting for them. A miracle is waiting for them. Oh, Jehovah God, the children, the house helps, the husband who is struggling with a job situation, the wife who is finding it very rough to handle the children who are becoming unmanageable. My God, in all these circumstances, you are a God who is able to step in and do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or imagine. And so, Lord, thank you for taking us through January. We are going to finish January very strong and enter to February with a testimony. And so I pray for my beloved ones who have sat here not only to worship, not only to give offering, not only to fellowship with one another, but also to hear your word. Again, we celebrate the new leaders in the pastors and deacon board who have been chosen. We continue to speak your blessing upon their lives. And so, Father, again, I release this blessing upon your beloved people. And dear Lord, let nobody in this service ever give up. May they never lose hope, because God is still having an assignment for them to accomplish. If you believe this, you better say, I receive it.
I
take it.
It
is my portion. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. In Jesus' name. Now lift up your hands as I bless you. I release you today. While your hands are up, just give your neighbor a high five and just appreciate that they came to church today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now your hands up and God bless you. Father, I release this blessing upon your people, those watching online, those in the pavilion, those in the overflow tent. And I want to say for those also in person, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you in the mighty name of Jesus. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. I decree to you that your Monday is blessed and your Tuesday is blessed. Your Wednesday is blessed. Your Thursday is blessed. Your Friday is blessed. Guess what? Your Saturday is blessed. Sunday, you're coming back with a testimony. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. And I decree this to you that you're blessed when you come in. You're blessed when you go out. You're blessed when you rise up and when you sit down. The work of your hands is blessed. Your family is blessed. Your children are blessed. Your grandchildren are blessed. Your businesses are blessed. Your career is blessed. And even if you don't have a job, another job is coming your way. God is restoring your fortunes in the name of Jesus. That court case is a success for you in the name of Jesus. Favor is coming your way. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Your youth is being renewed like the eagles. Yes, your health is renewed. Your sicknesses are healed in the name of Jesus. You have vitality in your life. Energy is coming your way. The Holy Spirit has anointed you. So rise up and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Receive this blessing in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And God's people say,
amen.
Come on, give God a big hand. Amen. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor,
surely goodness
and mercy
shall follow you
all the days of your life.
And you shall dwell
in the house of the Lord
forever
and ever.
And there's nothing the devil can do about it.
You are blessed
to be a blessing.
You're favored
to be favorable.
You're lifted
to lift others.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Kubuya and your team, as you travel well to DRC, Congo, and come again. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom.